Well, let's segue in. Let's segue in that. So we're at the 23. I'm saying this out loud so I can, when I go to play, because I had people asking, would you put this on a podcast? I'm like, dang it, I guess. So at the 23 mark is where the recording on podcast was, and the video will actually start. Gotcha. So you're like, you just said, like, what was the thing you just said about believing? Oh, it's like you won't believe until you see, rather than just believing. Yeah. And then I think, like, when we talk about, you know, we've led in the Apostles' Creed, we led in the Apostles' Creed. Hold on a second. All of a sudden, like, I'm hearing, like, a feedback on your mic.
Oh, wait, that's probably my fan.
Oh, okay. Are you going to burn up? Going to burn up?
Nah, I just like having cold air.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I sometimes, like, the fan will get into the mic, so I would, like, put it at my feet or something like that so it won't blow in my mic. Right? So that's the other thing too. It's like, I won't go into a big, like, you know, rant about this, but part of the year of our Lord 2023, the age that we live in, is there's the way, the study of how we think is simply called philosophy. It is the study of wisdom or the study of the way we think. Philosophy, all it does is, like, for the time, how do people think? One of the ways they think is, like, well, I'm not going to believe it until you show me. But then you show him, that's like, well, I still don't believe it, right? And that's kind of like the it's almost, I want to say it's hypocrisy, but it's not really. Because what modern thinking doesn't factor in is, like, does a person want to believe? What's that?
I was gonna say, is it, like, similar to, like, how you said, like, before, like how they're trying to, like, suppress it?
Yeah,
like they're trying to suppress that truth.
Yeah, the will of the human is a mighty thing. Now we can get some deeper theological stuff later on. I promise you, we'll talk about it. But even with the will of man being a prisoner of sin and Satan, apart from God, it still wants to do powerful things, like denying that God exists. It's a powerful, the will of man is really powerful. But the one thing that the will of mankind cannot do is believe in God, unless God dwells in him. So we talk about, like, the Apostles' Creed. This is what we believe. This is what Christians believe. We believe in God the Father, creator of God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. And we talked about the implications of that. This line is, the creed is, we believe in Jesus Christ, his only son, our Lord. Okay? And sorry about that. So we believe in God and Father, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. So we believe that there is a God. We believe he is all powerful. We believe that he is our Father in heaven. And we believe that he is creator of heaven and earth. Now we're getting to this line. I'm gonna shoot real with you. There are two other religions that believe that same thing. Those two lines, they believe the exact same thing. Jews and the Muslims. All three of us. And so with some of the things, if you ever hear, and you can tell somebody's an atheist if they were like those Abrahamic religions. They put us under the Christians, the Jews, and the Muslims are bounded together through Abraham, right? Our father in the faith. They're like, Abrahamic religions. You're like, you already know they're coming from, like, an atheistic, you know, bent, mm-hmm. an atheistic bent. So neither here nor there. But here's what, how we're somewhat similar. We have some relations to the Jews. We have some relations to the Muslims, but that's where it starts. That starts and ends there. Because this line in Jesus Christ, his only son, our Lord. But and so I didn't want to make this about like being, you know, how are Christians different from Muslims or Jews, but it's sitting right there. Jesus Christ, first of all, the Jews don't believe that he is the Messiah. So check that off. And his only son, to say that somebody is a son of God in the Muslim religion, that's blasphemy against God. Mm-hmm. And then both deny him to be our Lord. That means he is our ruler, our sovereign, we must obey him. So three checks.
I do remember reading somewhere, John, that this has been happening for a very long time. Like even when Jesus was still alive, mm-hmm. that even some of the Jews have rejected Jesus. Like they would try to like throw stones at him just to, because they think, oh, he's speaking blasphemy. He's saying he's the son of God. He's not really the son of God. But you know, who are they to say?
They tried to stone him for saying he was the son of God. They tried to stone him because he said, "Before Abraham was, I am." Jesus rightfully referred to himself to Moses and the burning bush when the burning bush, God dwelled in the burning bush. And he told Moses, tell my people, I am that I am. Jesus is quoting himself before Abraham even existed. He's like, I'm the one who spoke to Moses. Everybody responded by trying to throw stones at him.
Mm-hmm.
And then
throwing stones and whatnot.
Yeah, throwing stones. And then you're going to look at the theological implications of that. Read Romans 9, 10, 11. In my, on my site here, if you go to the Study Romans series, it's exactly where I'm at. Look, 9. These are my commentaries. 9. Chapters Romans 9, 10, and 11. I just finished up 11.
Nice.
So, yeah. So, huge, right? It's huge. And we're going to get into the others, like conceive the Holy Spirit. So, this is we're not going to do this entire thing because I'm an old man and I have to go to bed. So, but we're going to get it. We're going to start it and we're just going to continue it like next week and stuff like that. So, you know, my website's always here. So if you're like, what did Dad talk about? Just go back here. Here's the belief. So for you to believe that the sky is blue, well, you see that the sky is blue. For you to believe that 2 + 2 = 4, well, that's not really a belief. That is like math. You know, that's just math, right? But to believe in God is supernatural. It is outside of us. Like, something has to be done outside of us in order for us to believe in God, right? Mm-hmm. Something outside of us has to do something in order for us to believe in God. It's supernatural. So here's the word for that. 1 Corinthians 12:3, look at this. Therefore, I want you to know that no one is speaking by God, Spirit of God, saying Jesus is cursed, right? If they're saying Jesus is cursed, they do not have the Holy Spirit within them. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, what he is saying is not the humans have the parrot, like, you know, squawk, squawk, parrot, ability to say those words, right? He's not saying that. He's saying to sincerely, when somebody says Jesus is Lord, and that's a actual objective truth, and I believe in that, the only way you can believe that and say that with belief and sincerity is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if, you know, as somebody says Jesus is cursed, they do not have the Holy Spirit. God does not, they're not saved. They're just not saved. Mm-hmm. Further, so let's keep going on a supernatural tip. John 3:3, look at the connection here. Jesus replied to you, truly, I tell you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. But look at what Christ tells the people. Matthew 6:33, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. How in the world can you seek unless he is born again? God is not contradicting himself. He said, hey, guess what? I need you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. For you to do that, you got to be born again. Can you born yourself again? We've talked about this before. No. You can't. No. I can't. You couldn't. You had nothing to do with your birth the first time. You have nothing to do with your birth the second time. And people were like, but you chose God. How did you choose God?
By believing in him.
Yeah. What? No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has to be already in you, dwelling in you. He's the triune God. And when you examine the scriptures, Christians have the all, when you say triune God, Father, Son, and Spirit dwelling in him. Once he has made his home in you, you can now say, oh, I believe in God. I choose God. I want to love God, and Christ is Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's like the chicken and the egg. It's like that argument. People were like, but I chose God, therefore he dwells in me. Like, no. He dwells in you. Then you can believe. And why is that? So, like, why am I, belaboring the point? Why am I trying to beat this dead horse? Is because if we go about our business as Christians, that we equate a person, if we equate believing in God with teaching basic math skills, 2 + 2 = 4, we can fall into the trap of we can just throw enough church, enough Sunday school, enough Christian private school, enough Bible college, enough seminaries, and spend the rest of your life as a pastor at a church. Well, surely you're saved. You did all the schooling. That's modern thinking. We can just educate people to be Christians. And I was like, nope, that's not how that works. That's not how that works. For you to believe in God, for you to trust God, for you to know God, you must be born again.
Mm-hmm.
And here's...
Only he can do that, not us.
And I'll take it one step further. Luke 11, you remember, like, our Father in heaven, holy is your name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. The Lord's Prayer. Mm-hmm. So there's an account in Matthew 6. But if you flip over to Luke 11, Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer. But at the end, it's the Lord Christ himself, God teaching us how to pray to God. Right? And look at the end of here. How much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? But how do you know how to ask him unless you're born again? So you can go ahead. Now that you're born again, you can now see the kingdom of God. Now you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you.
Yeah.
Ask God. For God, you get God. I have no other guarantees for you, Yusuf. None. Not in life, not in love, not in friendships, not in jobs, not in education, not nothing. I have no guarantees for you. Life will kick you square in the no-no square. Over and over. Give it an opportunity, it'll kick you. It'll kick you right in the no-no square. But here's the one guarantee. Ask God for God, you'll get God. Guarantee.
Nice.
Instantaneously. Like, pop. You know why? Because you already have God. For you have the wherewithal, the thought, the will to ask for God, you already have God. It's a confirmation. It's a confirmation.
I have a question. Can someone lose their salvation?
You want the real?
Give me the real. Keep it a stack.
I'm going to give you a stack.
Give me a stack.
Right. You get your Bible because I want you to see this.
Give me a stack.
Yeah. I want you to feel. I want to see it. Feel it. You tell me. I want you to read this, and I want you to tell me what's really going down in Chinatown.
Give me a sec.
Yeah, you're all right.
Okay. All right, I got it. What book should I turn to?
Go to John.
Uh-huh.
Go to chapter 10. John chapter 10. So it's Matthew, Mark, Luke, John.
John. Mm-hmm. John. Oh, neat. I'm actually at chapter 10. Let's go.
What? Okay, go to verse
25.
25. Yeah. We're just, you, it's funny. It's funny that you would ask that question, and I'm going to answer, and we're not even off topic. Mm-hmm. Go start at verse 25. Go start at verse 25.
All right. I did tell you, and you don't believe. Right. Jesus answered them, "The works that I have do that I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you don't believe because you are not of sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I, the Father, are one."
You guess what happens? Look at verse 31.
"Again, the Jews picked up the rocks to stone him. Jesus replied, 'I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these works are you stoning me?' 'We are not stoning you for a good work,' the Jews answered, 'but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God.'"
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you can stop there. You can stop there. But now go back to verses 28 and look at that. Jesus gives them us. He gives us eternal life. They will, one, never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. No one. Does that include the person he saved? You're asking, can somebody lose their salvation? So can I snatch myself out of Jesus's hand?
No, because you can't even save yourself.
Exactly. If you can't save yourself, then you can't unsave yourself. See how that works? So check this out. You have the snatch of the Almighty God that is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, right? Snatch number one. Snatch number two, my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. You're going to tell me infinite strength times infinite strength that, oh, but we can lose our salvation. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who is God, says both me and my Father both have our almighty grips upon our people. We will not lose our people. Or let me keep it all the way real. Father in heaven is a perfect father. Does the perfect father would ever lose his children? Would I lose my children? Like in a busy mall somewhere? Yeah, I'm very capable of that. You are too. But would God ever lose his children?
No.
Absolutely not. Not. And we can't unsave ourselves. We cannot unsave ourselves. So like, well, what if you what if you just kept sinning? And I'm like, we all keep sinning. That's the thing. What people think they don't sin. They do.
Yeah.
And you were like, well, what if you never repent? I don't repent hard enough. That's why God came. That's why Jesus Christ came, to save us. We couldn't do any of that. We can't repent hard enough. We can't do good works hard enough. We can't obey the law at all. Mm-hmm. Well, we're screwed. We're screwed.
Yeah.
Unless God does something, we are totally screwed. We're damned. Yeah. We're damned. Because
Jesus came and lived that life for us.
Came to live that life for us. Exactly.
And he shed his blood, his pure blood, and took all the sins of the world just for us.
Yep. Yep.
Ain't that the greatest sacrifice anyone could ever make?
Yep. Yep. And let's talk about his only son. So we talk about Jesus saying, you know, me and the Father are one. I'm going to stone you. But he's also, he's not only like getting stoned for saying, I am God, me and the Father are one, but also what really riled them. He's like, God doesn't lose his children. And further back than that, he goes, you don't believe me because you're not my sheep. If you are my sheep, sheep hear my voice and they believe me and they follow me. You don't follow me because you don't believe. You don't believe because you're not my people.
Mm-hmm.
And they got mad because, but look at us. We memorized the Bible. We've been in in God school since we were 11 years old before we turned 12.
We have the blood of Abraham.
We're descendants of Abraham. He goes, if you were descendants of Abraham, Abraham saw my day and he rejoiced in it. He's praising God right now because I am the fulfillment of everything that I promised him back in the day. But you call yourself a descendant of Abraham and you're trying to stone me and I'm trying to give you life. Make that make sense. Right?
Wiling.
Yeah, just wiling. Just wiling out here. Why don't you just believe? Why don't you just believe? Here's the thing. They had all the facts. They have every single fact. They had, at the time of the New Testament, when the Gospels are being written, the only scriptures that we had as Christians was the Old Testament. They had all the facts. All the facts. Jesus said, all the Old Testament is about me. It's about me. You have it, and you're still out here wilding.
Yeah.
And going back to like that declaration, this son is eternally begotten of the Father. Now, when you see begotten, like if you use the term begotten or beget, like that's real old school language, right? But if you say like I beget you, I am your dad, I beget Yusuf. So Joseph beget Yusuf, right? So in a way, it does mean born, but when you apply it to God, it does not mean born. Like Jesus was like, all of a sudden he just appeared, right? He is eternally begotten of the Father, which means Christ always, always existed, just like his Father. He always existed, and he's from the Father. He is from the Father. He didn't split from the Father. He did not, like an amoeba, like multiple cells, nothing like that. He is, first of all, their spirit. Until Christ became flesh, he was a spirit, just like the Spirit, just like the Father.
Mm-hmm.
He was incorporeal. He had no former, like, he had nothing. You couldn't touch him. Because he didn't, you know, back before Genesis 1:1, he didn't even, like, invent the material plane, the earth, you know? Everything was spirit. It was just him, Father, Son, Spirit. That was it. Father, Son, Spirit. That was it. And they were happy and they were content, you know, and they glorified each other. They were happy. But he also, before he made Genesis, before he made the mountains and the earth, he loved you. And he was like, you know what? We're going to make the heavens and the earth. And I'm going to make Yusuf. But I know, I can see it already. He's running away from me. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send my son to go live for him, to go die for him, so I can go save him.
Mm-hmm.
The Son is eternally begotten from the Father. So that alone ruffles, it pisses off everybody who's not a Christian. But for the Christian, this means everything. It's one hundo. It's everything.
You know what's actually, you know what's funny? Back when we used to go to Gateway Church, you know, they would always have, like, show, like, these little, like, nice little movies, you know, little Christian movies. You know, they were always fun. But the one that always, like, stuck out to me the most and the most I always remember is, like, it was, like, a little animation. It was, like, kind of like a, they're, like, puppets in a way. Like, the people in the town, they're, like, shaped like wooden puppets, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they would have these, like, stickers. You have two kinds of stickers. You have the star sticker, which you would be, like, you give for, like, doing good works. Or, you know, you'd be give for, like, you know, being good. Or you have a bad sticker for messing up or doing bad things, right? So there's this character who had been given a lot of stickers, like, and next to no stars at all. Like, and, like, it was just, like, stars and black dots.
Mm-hmm.
And this character, he would just be given black dots, like, all the time from the people. Like, he was just, like, I was like, oh, he did this. Give him a black spot. Boom. He's just covered in black spots. But then one day, there's a woman who, another puppet woman, who didn't have any stickers at all, like no stars, no black spots, no nothing. And when someone tried to give him one, it just fell right off.
All right.
It just, yeah, the stickers just fall right off. So the guy who had multiple black spots on him, he followed her, and then next thing you know, he meets their creator of some sort, aka God. And then so I think along that line, he, I can't remember too well, But I think he acknowledges and he believes in his creator, and he realizes that, you know, he is made in the image. He was made in his image. You know, he was created, and therefore he is valuable. Therefore he is loved. Therefore he is, you know, he is enough, you know?
Exactly.
And then once he starts to accept that, and once he, like, believe that, you know, I am enough, all the stickers, all, like, all the black spots that, like, everyone put on him just fall right off.
That's right.
And he just, and he just kept walking into the light. I always find that story very, I always like that story.
Well, the whole, yeah, I think it's the story is actually a kind of retelling of the last half of Romans 8. Like, who is to bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who can condemn? Right? Guys, Jesus Christ has lived. Not only that, he has died and he's rose again and is seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for his people. So can anything on this earth separate us from God? Not nothing.
No.
Not anything of all creation can ever separate us from the love of God that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Right? Mm-hmm. Once you are saved, no charge will stick against you. None. The accuser, who is the devil, will you think he's going to use other people to try to accuse you, but you know who he talks to accuse you of the stuff that you have done that's wrong? He'll talk to you. He'll accuse you. He is the accuser. And none of those charges stick because you're in Christ.
Yeah. They will stay for a sec, but then they eventually will fall off. The more I hear the word of God, the more, you know, the stickers fall off.
But here's a kick, though. Here's a kick. Mm-hmm. Because you're in Christ, God sees you, but he sees you clothed in the righteousness of his Son. That's 2 Corinthians 5:21. For our sake, you and me, for our sake, God the Father made God the Son to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, you and me could be the righteousness of God. Yeah, it's an exchange. It's like we call it the exchange. He takes our sin, he gives us his righteousness. When God the Father looks at us, he goes, oh, you're just like my Son. You're good. Yeah, none of those charges stick. And you may think the stickers are slow to fall off, but when God sees it, he's like, what's a sticker? What's a black dot? I don't see no black dots. Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I think the black dots represent like sin.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's like sin. It's also charges. Like everything you've done bad, it's a charge against you.
Yeah.
For without Christ, those charges stick. With Christ, those charges, this is what in the Psalms God says, I take your sin in as far as the east is from the west. That's how far I remove your trespasses. Psalms 103. Yeah.
Makes sense.
I take them away. Because I do that. God does it. Not us. God does that.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out. Well, I'm going to finish up with this. We're talking about God. We're talking about Son eternally begotten of the Father. John 3:16, famous verse. For God loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. John 1:14. The Word, that is Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. We observed his glory, the glory as the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then John 8:28. So Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own. But just as the Father has taught me, I say these things. The one who has sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, because I always do what pleases him. Jesus not only obeyed God perfectly for us, he did so with joy. He did so without being separated from the Father. Without God, we are separated from Father. But the thing about Jesus, he was born perfectly. He was not born with the curse of Adam. He is the second Adam. That's why we're going to talk about later. Well, put a pause on that. Why was it so important for him to be born of the Virgin Mary? We're going to examine that. Why did Mary have to be a virgin? Why?
Right.
We're going to examine that. The Gospel of John drips with the most complete, most thorough description of the only begotten Son of God, the Father. But here's how Apostle... So, I always think the everything after the Gospel, so your Acts, Romans, 1st and 2nd Corinthians and all that, everything that Paul writes is like Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, all those, I think the way I say those, it's like those are like commentaries on the Gospel or the Gospels, or is it comment? I call it the commentaries on the ministry, the earthly ministry of Jesus. And this is the reason why I say that. We see these passages in John, right? This is how Paul explains this. Colossians 1:15, going to 20. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of over all creation. This does not mean he was born. What it means is that it's from Romans 8:29. He will, for those who predestined, he also, that's you and me, he also will conform to the image of his Son, who is the firstborn among all his brothers and sisters. That means he is the standard bearer. He is the second Adam. He is the first among all the Christians. He is first because he is God, but he's also our brother. He is our oldest brother. The Puritans used to call him our eldest brother.
Mm.
Yeah. And we're his brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy, right? If God is our father, Jesus is our brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Makes sense. For in verse 16, for everything was created by him in heaven and earth, the visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. That means all the heavenly authorities and the hellish, the demonic authorities. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and by him all things held together. So in the chair you're sitting right now, your body, your brain, the keyboard, all the atoms are held together to make up a item or a person or air or space or time. Those are actively being held by the mind of Christ. Actively. Not passively. Actively. He's thinking, I'm going to keep Yusuf together. I'm keeping Joe together. I'm keeping the keyboard together.
I'm keeping the world together.
I'm keeping the world together. All things. He is the head of the body. That means he's the head pastor of the church. Mm-hmm. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. So that all of who God is in Christ. So when we say Christ is, you'll hear this sometimes in church, Christ is fully God. God was pleased to have his fullness dwell in him. Fully God and yet fully man. He wasn't half man, half God. He is 100% God, 100% man. And through Jesus, to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. When he died, when Jesus died, that's when all the reconciliation. It wasn't when he lived. It wasn't when he became a baby. It wasn't when he was living perfectly unto God. And it wasn't when he was resurrected, and it wasn't when he was glorified back to heaven. It's when he died on the cross. He had made peace mm-hmm. with all of his creation.
Crazy.
That's nuts, yo.
Yeah.
Nuts. You. Yeah. So I wanna pause here because the next half, it may be like broken up in two or three parts, but the next half, the next night will be, it's chunky. It's super chunky.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So we're going to definitely pause here, bro.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right. Well, it's definitely great talking to you and definitely another great study session as well.
Yeah. Sure. I love studying with you, man. It's so fun. It's so good.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to, Hey, you know, no pressure, no worries. That if you want to, like, you know, Papa, can we keep doing it? I'm like, psh, I got nothing but time. I got nothing but the Bible. I got you, bro.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
week.
All right, well, I'm gonna go take care of some things. I'll talk to you later, Pop.
Peace out.
Later.
Later.